Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the first chapter, beginning at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before Him in love. He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as I said to the kids, it's Trinity Sunday. In Trinity, the concept, the idea is just a confusing theological argument. There's a lot of different illustrations we can use. There's a lot of different ideas that we can put forth. But at the end of the day, really, way back in when they were coming up with this concept, they were just kind of fixing a theological problem. You see, the Christians, the early Christians, they were coming out of the Jewish faith, and the Jewish faith is very clear that there is one God. It's one of the most important things about the Jewish faith. It says, there is one God. Hear, O Israel, your God is one. But they were dealing with this Jesus, and this Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, and they were trying to understand what all this was about, and so they sort of fixed their problem of the one God by coming up with this idea of the Trinity. And it was divisive, and there were arguments and fights about it, and about 500, there was a major split in the church. And the southern, kind of southern eastern Asian and African part of the church split off and said, no, like, we don't, this Trinity thing doesn't make any sense. We don't understand it that way. We can't be in communion anymore. So then they started working more on this idea of the Trinity. They're thinking about it, trying to figure it out, right? How does it, and they got really trying to figure out, how does Jesus save us? And they're like, okay, well, only God can save us. So they came, you know, this idea of Jesus really developed as being one, you know, both God and man, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, as Jesus sort of talks about in John. And again, there was a major split in the church over that little phrase, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And the church split in half again, and the eastern part, the Constantinopolitan part of the church, split off and became what is today the Orthodox Church, which our kids went to a few weeks ago, right? And then the Roman Catholic Church developed with this idea of the Trinity that we work with today. So all this throughout history, this discussion about the Trinity has been a problem. And I think the problem is the emphasis on trying to understand the Trinity. Jesus doesn't really talk much about understanding God. Jesus talks a lot more about following God, talks a lot more about God wanting a relationship a right relationship, a relationship of love, I think that the Trinity, this idea, is trying to put words on what is really and actually an experience. It's the same as trying to explain love. Right? I mean, I talked through it with the kids there, and they just like, man, I could have had cue cards. They did such a good job. Right? What is love? One said, well, it's love, like a boyfriend and girlfriend. Okay. No. It's like my mommy when she puts a Band-Aid on my knee. What does that have to do with a boyfriend and girlfriend? Those two thoughts, I was like, how can you understand those things together? They're like incompatible, right? Like, love is hard to explain. It's an experience. It's a feeling. It's an action. It's a life lived. I think the Trinity is a way of thinking and talking about the experience of God's love and God's grace. We experience different parts of the Trinity differently. When we talk about the Trinity, we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think these are just ways of expressing this different ways that we experience God. When we talk about the Father, we talk about this Psalm 8 God, right? The majesty and the glory of God. The God that you experience when you go outside on a really dark night and you see the depths of the heavens. Now, you might have an understanding that there's more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on the earth, but that doesn't necessarily give you the experience of going out and seeing the heavens and realizing that God created all of that. That God created the heavens and the earth. This is the God that we talk about being eternal, invisible, dwelling in light, immortal, almighty, unresting, unwanting. This is the big God, the God you experience on the mountaintop, the God you experience in a sunrise. This is the big God. It's not the personal God. This is the big God, and this is the God that has big plans. The big plans that Paul is talking about, right? Plans for all of the heaven and all of the earth and for everything and all creation to be brought together all in one. The whole universe, all the stars, the creatures experiencing God and God's love. The Message, I think, says this nice. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of love, to be made whole and holy by his love. So this plan, this immense and enormous God who has this incredibly large and unfathomable plan, has been revealed to us that the plan is focused in on us, on our experience of being made whole and holy by his love. In some way, somehow, we are critical in God's enormous, incredible plan. And that is where the Son comes in, Jesus Christ. That is the part that we sort of can personally experience and understand. Said to be the best revelation of God. God is revealed in the stars, revealed in the mountaintops. God is revealed in the Word, the Scripture, revealed by the prophets. But we believe that the best revelation of God was in a man, a person who walked on this earth, who loved and taught and healed and loved. And he suffered and he died and he loved. And in that experience of the Son, we learn more about our part in this incredible plan that God has for the entire universe that God has created. It's got something to do with this cross. It's got something to do with healing and life and teaching and death and resurrection and sacrificial love and going to the margins where people are abused and left out and unafraid and afraid and picking those people up and bringing them back to the center. Right? Paul says that all things come together in him. That somehow or another, this life that Jesus lived of picking up people on the margins and bringing them to the center, that's actually part of God's whole plan for the entire universe. Bringing all things together in him. But that happened a long time ago. We can read about it. But like I said, this isn't about an understanding. This is about an experience. Your experience and my experience. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, we believe, died and was resurrected in a body and ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, which is just a way of talking about Jesus is now in body with God, the Father, the Creator, the one. Again, I'm not going to try to explain the Trinity to you. I'm just going to say that Jesus was a person. But each one of you can experience that person by the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the way that we understand each of our experience of God's love and grace. The connection that we personally can have with the Trinity, with the God of all creation that can live in our own heart. This immense, incredible God can be inside of us. Paul writes, this is how we comprehend the length, the width, the height, and the depth of unfathomable grace. The Spirit has us signed, sealed, and delivered into God's plan for all of creation. So what is the plan? How much grace and love? Like we talked about with the kids, right? Well, we know it's at least enough to share. But Paul talks about it in grand language. Paul says, before the creation of the world and the whole climax of the future, the end, the goal. It's all about God's love from the beginning to the end. And Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The plan that includes each one of us started before the creation of the world and it finishes in the end of all things. And we get to be a part of it. And we learned that that means every spiritual blessing, every single one, every possible blessing that God has to give, Paul says, we can receive and even have received. Just really a question of accessing it through faith. And it's happening according to the riches of God's grace. Not according to our sense of what's fair and what's not fair. Not according to our limited forgiveness. Not according to our weak faith. Not according to our limits, our sins, our brokenness, all the horrors that we see in the world, all the terrible things that people have do and have done to you. No, it's according to the riches of God's grace, the riches that are vast as the stars in the sky, vast as the oceans, as deep as the oceans, as far as the east is from the west. Unthinkable. To know what surpasses knowledge is Paul's prayer for us. to have power to do more than we can imagine or ask for, is what Paul's prayer is for us. Because we are given the gift of overflowing grace poured over us, lavish grace poured out for us on the cross of Christ, demonstrated in His blood flowing down and given to each one of us by the Holy Spirit, enough to share, enough to bring us equal to God's glory, enough to make us children of the Heavenly Father, as the Son is a child of the Heavenly Father, to bring us into that relationship of Trinity, that relationship of love in which all of the universe is going. Enough that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor wars, nor famine, no poverty, nor schisms, nor hate, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.